What Microsoft would want with Dell. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. American companies sitting on foreign money, but keeping it in the U.S. A Florida mall becomes a global tourism phenomenon, and the power of pork. There are reports Microsoft could chip in as much as $3 billion to the buyout of computer maker Dell. Marketplace technology reporter Quina Kim joins us. Good morning, Quina.
Good morning.
So explain why Microsoft would want a piece of this Dell deal.
The dominant theory is that it's in Microsoft's interest to help Dell. Dell is a number three PC maker, and it runs Microsoft products, so that makes sense. But Chris Silva at the Altimber Group says this might be a long-term bet for Microsoft.
Microsoft sees that we're going to be consuming the traditional Windows computing experience on different devices, whether it's a smartphone, whether it's a tablet. The actual idea of having a computer that runs Windows is less and less about a physical thing and more about a service that reaches us wherever we are.
So this looks more into Dell's future. It's trying to pivot away from traditional PCs and onto back-end services like servers that run software for companies. And so Silva thinks this is a long-term bet for Microsoft in terms of betting on Dell's future.
Tell us what's going on in the PC making business now, which has been a little troubled.
Yeah, there's been more bad news. Yesterday, chipmaker AMD reported dismal earnings. It's their third quarter in a row where their revenues have gone down, and they're blaming it on the declining PC sales market. And then we also got news today that Intel came out saying it's winding down its desktop circuit business, or what's commonly called the motherboard. But as consumers move to laptops and mobile devices, Intel is shifting its focus to making chips that work on those devices and not these big, unwieldy, you know, things.
Okay, Marketplace's Quina Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Mixed bag in trading, and right now the S&P just about flat. The Dow Jones, though, is up a bit, 0.4%, and that is at 13,768. McDonald's is out today with stronger than expected earnings. One reason why may surprise you, we'll explain in a couple minutes. A new Wall Street Journal report says a good deal of the estimated $1.7 trillion in foreign assets American companies have is actually sitting in U.S. banks. Kate Linebaugh wrote the piece. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
How does it work that a corporation's money can be in an American bank in American dollars but considered a foreign asset?
At some level, it's a technicality. This is just sort of how global banking works. Companies have been expanding overseas, and a lot of their income is earned from developing markets around the world or from Europe. And it is just being kept in U.S. securities or bank accounts or in U.S. government bonds because they are very safe.
Kate, this is arcane tax stuff, but in general, why does this matter to someone who is not a CFO or a tax attorney?
You know, what strikes me about this situation is, you know, this money is thought to be overseas. Well, oh, look, it appears to actually be in U.S. bank accounts. It just lays bare how the current tax situation isn't serving anyone. The U.S. Treasury is not getting the revenue they expect to be getting from corporate earnings, and corporations are not able to use those funds in the ways that they want, whether that's creating jobs and building factories, paying dividends to shareholders, paying their executives more, whatever it is, it's all kind of stuck in bank accounts because on one side, the corporations, on the other side, Uncle Sam are fighting over a buck. In this case, it's 1.7 trillion bucks, but there you go.
Again, we look at our complicated tax system. Thank you so much, Kate Linebaugh from the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks for having me.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
One of Florida's top tourist destinations is a mall. Near Fort Lauderdale, the Sawgrass Mills Mall has enough retail space to fill 40 football fields. Kenny Malone reports on how Latin American shoppers are making it a destination.
Perhaps the Sawgrass Mills effect is best boiled down to this sound. These are the wheels of a tiny purple piece of carry-on luggage, luggage that's being tugged around by Rubens Acevedo, a lieutenant colonel with the Brazilian Army who has been shopping for hours.
Sneakers, this one's from Nike. I just bought a few minutes ago, and I changed it to start using to get it softer.
Acevedo says buying the same shoes in Brazil would cost 50% more because of taxes.
Not only sneakers, but even the clothes are much cheaper.
Dolls, mugs, video games, all cheaper, all part of the Acevedo family's shopping spree. Ruben's wife, Adriana, admits,
too much. We've bought here 4 new luggage to go to Brazil.
This is quintessential Sawgrass Mills, to buy so much stuff that you have to buy new luggage to get it all home.
Well, it has created new meaning for the word attraction in Florida.
Nikki Grossman runs the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Fort Lauderdale. She has numbers that show twice as many visitors travel here to shop as they do to sightsee. It's even higher for South American visitors who she always knew wanted to spend winters here.
We didn't know that they intended to do it inside with a big old shopping bag instead of a bathing suit.
Greg Goodman is president of The Mills, a subsidiary of the Simon Property Group. He says travel agencies package entire tours around Sawgrass Mills. And the difference, he says, compared to other destination malls.
We're all about the shopping. We have very little in the way of entertainment. We don't have a theme park in the middle of the project. You know, we're really what our general manager likes to call power shopping.
One word of warning, by the way, to prospective power shoppers. Sawgrass Mills has like 11,000 parking spots. Something I learned the hard way. And I cannot find my car. Somewhere in the Sawgrass Mills parking lot in Sunrise, Florida, I'm Kenny Malone for Marketplace. Okay.
Marketplace Morning Report host Jeremy Hobson reports from Miami all week. Tomorrow he visits Univision for a look at the booming business of Spanish language media. And finally, one reason those McDonald's earnings were solid today, the McRib. The oddly shaped sandwich, what the industry calls restructured meat, appears only sporadically and has a cult following. Offering the McRib in December boosted McDonald's late year revenue. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.